feeling, yeah, yeah, yeah. Deixa de complicação, deixa de confusão, liberta a alma dessa prisão, yeah, yeah. Deixa de guiar pro coração, baby. Deixa de complicação, deixa de confusão, liberta a alma dessa prisão. Deixa te guiar pro coração, dá um bom feeling, yeah, 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 yeah. Bom feeling, yeah, 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 yeah. Bom feeling, yeah, 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 yeah. Bom feeling, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, esse coração assim desagradável, vai cheio assim, yeah. Sorriso, onde é que estás? Ah, estás a pensar que faz onda assim. Tens que mesmo buscar, buscar, buscar e fundo riso, riso.
Hey everyone, welcome to Plant a Good Seed podcast. I am Tish Oakley with Earth Monkey Energies, your host today, IBM TV, Spiritual Saturday. So glad to have you. And our guest today is Miss Donna Pate. And here she comes. Hey, Donna. Hey.
Hello, Tish.
Good to see ya.
Good to see you, dear.
So let's get started with a real brief, just a three-breath meditation before we jump on in this to try to ground ourselves and get ourselves settled, okay? All right, so if everyone watching wants to follow along, your feet should be flat on the floor. You should take your spine to the ceiling. Reach up to the ceiling with your spine, tuck your chin in, and close your eyes. Let's breathe in and fill up our lungs and our belly with fresh breath. Now let's breathe out and exhale any pain, any frustration, any loneliness. Let's breathe in again. Inhale, fill up our body with air, with life, and with light. Now let's breathe out the past chains that are holding you back. One last breath in to the here and now. Meet your future at the gate and exhale yesterday. Let it all go. You don't need it. Let's step forward. Namaste. There we go. All right. So Donna, can you tell us a little bit about you?
My name is Donna Pate. I am 56 years old from Raleigh, North Carolina. I have a three-year-old Rottweiler named Trip, who is a Trip. And I have both rescues, and I have a rescue cat named Rigsby. And they keep me sane, and they have me well-trained. So, you know. But I own my own. Do what, dear?
I said they have you trained.
They do have me trained very well. Very well. And also, for 22 years, I've owned a business called For the Record. It's a screening company, and we do all types of searches for background checks for employment reasons. So I've been doing that for 22 years. I also volunteer with the Rottweiler Rescue Group when I have time. Mm. And I'm fortunate enough to have my own house. Or should I say, the mortgage company and I have my own house, right?
Right.
It's not me. And I'm an alcoholic. Yeah, so
okay,
I'm an alcoholic.
Then.
Yeah.
Putting it right out there.
I'm a very grateful alcoholic. Very. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I really thank you for being here today with your honesty and your vulnerability. There's so many millions of people that have not recognized their addiction. They say that over 21 million Americans have some type of addiction and only 10% are getting help. So mm-hmm. Luckily you are one of those 10%. And I'm so grateful that you're going to share your story today to tell others that they too can get help and they don't have to be chained down with their addictions.
Exactly. Exactly. So I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I say that because you don't graduate. You know, you don't.
Oh.
Yeah, there's not like you go to 100 meetings and oh, you're all fixed. It's not like that at all. It's a day-to-day process. And usually when I first started, and even sometimes today when I'm feeling a little lost, I'll break up the day into like morning, afternoon, and evening so that mm-hmm. I don't have that lost feeling. And I did that a lot when I first came in. A lot.
Gotcha. Let's talk about your journey before. So you just talked about when you first came in, but let's talk about, you know, before you even realized, you know, before it started happening, before you realized there was that issue.
Yes. I was always an outsider. I always felt lost. There was a time when I didn't have any opinions. I didn't have any of my own thoughts. I was just like nobody inside. And the insides were black. And it just felt, it felt like I was constantly swimming against the tide of life. You know, I didn't seem to fit in anywhere. And I sure didn't get the manual to life. You know? Yeah. I wish there were one. I'd be at the bookstore in no time. So
when you find it, you let me know.
Yeah. And, you know, and so I lived that way for a good while. And when I was 38, I mean, I was a lightweight drinker. I didn't really drink that much. But when I was 38, I started binge drinking, which is occasionally having a drink and being able to stop, or occasionally having a drink and not being able to stop. And I never knew what was going to happen. So that's how I eventually came to realize I was an alcoholic. You know, at first,
I was going to say that, you know, you were talking about before you became an alcoholic and you felt cold, you know, and empty on the inside. And the really strange thing is there are so many of us that have felt that way, right? And you came from, to all practical, from what I know, a loving family. You know, you had a great relationship with your dad. So it's not like you were, you know, abused or you know, any of that type thing that sometimes people might think that would lead. But you just felt a little different, not like everybody else.
Exactly.
And separate from, you were separated from the herd, so to
exactly. speak. Exactly. And one of the things we say in AA is, to stay in the middle of the herd so that way you don't get picked off by being on the edges of the herd.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, I mean, even though I have some time in the program, my alcoholism is doing push-ups. It's getting stronger and stronger every day. So that's why I have to work at it every day.
That's interesting about it being like a muscle, like something that you have to work on and keep strong. And you can't stop, right? Because once you get I feel like we're kind of jumping. So let's go back. Because let's go back to, so we talked about, there's Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey, I was so jumping up. It was very good, everything like that. Donna, one of the things that I've always been amazed by and everything, and I actually work when we're able to work at the Haytown Heritage Center, and that's actually where one of the meetings is. We won't say which organization it is, but it's one of the anonymous organizations has their meeting there. But oftentimes, whatever the addiction is, they sometimes are from a cross section of the population. But I think people are oftentimes stereotyped and they feel that it's not the cross section. They feel there's only a certain kind of people. But I know for a fact that there were business owners. And I know you talked about being a business owner, but there were business owners, there were students, there were people from all walks of life. It wasn't just one walk of life that has been impacted by whatever the addiction is. I agree with what Tish said, that there are a lot of different types of addictions. There's everything from alcohol addiction to drug addiction to people being addicted to certain types of internet things and things of that nature. So there are a variety of addictions
that
are
social media.
Social media, exactly. So I was just wondering if you could talk about that, how that stereotype exists, how people think that there's only one type of alcoholism or things of that nature, but it's across the spectrum of our society.
Yes, it is. It does not discriminate whatsoever. And Tish and I were talking before we came on, and I said, you know, you wouldn't look at me and think, you know, and when I first came into AA, I just thought that alcoholics were like people that lived under bridges and that, you know, so there is that stereotype, but alcoholism and other addictions knows no boundaries. It doesn't care if you're white, black, purple, rich, poor, does not matter, crosses every single line. And I'll tell you, the first step is I am powerless over alcohol and my life has become unmanageable. Well, you can take the word alcohol out and put in there working, gambling, eating, social media.
Yep.
I mean, you can put anything in there that you do to an excess that makes your life unmanageable. So there are tons, you know, and that's and people don't realize that there's help, that just pick up the phone. Or I ended up going to a rehab and then went to a meeting all by myself, which I was scared to death to do, but I was more scared not to do it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're right, Mark. There's
and the other thing that I know, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Tish, but the other thing that I really noticed in everything is how much there is, how impactful it is on our society. Like I said, I live over here not that far from Duke University, and there are a number of people that are fighting alcoholism in one form or another, but they're also panhandling and doing things of that nature. But I'm actually one of those people, like Tish, that will talk to them. I'm not going to sit there and make a judgment. I actually want to get to know them, want to actually have a bonding with them and a friendship with them. So there's actually a couple of folks that I've become friends with, and they've even broken down stereotypes. I remember one guy, like I said, I don't know what his issue is, but he actually received a decent amount of money. Don't know what it was, but let's call it $200 or whatever. And I think a lot of people thought, you know, he'll pocket it, he'll do whatever he's going to do with it. But he actually gave that money away. So he actually went, and while he was around these food courts, he went and paid for some other people that were in similar kind of situations, paid for them to get something to eat. And actually, I think there was even a worker, not somebody that was in that crowd that it would be considered his crowd, but like a worker that he felt wasn't getting enough food, and he bought something for him as well. So like I said, I think that there's that stereotype that oftentimes we will sit there and see these people, whether they're panhandling or whatever they're doing, and just automatically write them off without trying to learn their story.
Exactly. And as many ways as you can become an alcoholic or have a addiction, there's that many stories. You know, I actually, let's see, environmental, genetic, psychological, and social. Those are the things that help you, or not help you, but are the ways to become addicted to something. And so it doesn't matter. Like my parents and grandparents did not drink. You know, and I don't know where I got it from, but I got it. And I was late in life. I was 38. And I've heard that, like, especially women, like, you end up being an alcoholic quicker, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly to me. Yeah.
Well, like I said, I'm going to bounce off and let Tiff
take
Mark,
over. But, Mark, what you said about...
The other two questions I had, and like I said, I'm going to bounce off and everything, but I am curious, and I'll let Tish can pick them up, the answers to these questions later on during the interview, but two things that I'm curious about is the meetings themselves, because we are in the middle of a pandemic, and like I said, I know we're not meeting the folks that meet regularly over at the HI with whatever that addiction is and everything. Like I said, well, I'll go ahead and say it. It's in a, it's a public knowledge that they have their meetings at the HI Center, but they're not having their meetings because that building is closed. So I'm curious about that. And the other thing I'm curious about is I was watching this special. I'm a member of NABJ, and they were having a thing about the prison population, and they were talking about the boyfriend kind of situation. So in other words, some of these people that were in women's prisons felt that they got pulled into it because they were part of the life that their boyfriends led or their significant others. So they got pulled in almost as codependents, but because they were there with them when they committed the crime, they wound up serving the time as well. So I'm curious to see if you had incidents like that, even in the alcoholic community and things of that nature. So.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Matter of fact, I had a relapse and it was because of a guy. And, you know, in the rooms, they will tell you not to put anything before your sobriety, because as soon as you do, you will lose that thing and you will lose your sobriety. And that's what ended up happening. I had 4.5 years of sobriety, and I put a guy in front, and he introduced a drug to me, which I just drank at first, but then I started doing that. And actually, so I relapsed at 4.5 years. I was actually pricing for a yard sale one Saturday, and that Saturday all day long, I drank and I did the drug. And then that evening came and I was, I guess, in a blackout because I don't remember this, but I was in my office and I must have hit my head on the file cabinet, and I laid, and I laid a certain way with my legs bent. And, but I had emailed my ex-husband to come and check on the dog if he had not heard from me. So like, it was as if I kind of knew I was overdoing it. And now
you knew it was coming.
Right. I did. I did.
And you told him to check on the dog, but it was like, you need to come over here and check on the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am, you know, I can't imagine him when he came to the house and saw me there, you know, because I probably wasn't responsive. And I stayed in the hospital for a week, and because to make sure my legs would work.
Wow.
I don't remember. Yeah. Yeah. It was a really bad one. Stuck. Yeah. And I don't remember the week at the hospital. I don't remember being brought home and the week after being brought home. It's all blur. And from then, I kind of bounced back and forth, picking up a white chip, going out and drinking, then picking up a white chip, you know. So I finally picked one up, and it stuck, right? And
so tell us about the white chip, though.
Oh, yeah, the white chip. That's for surrender. Yeah. That's for surrender. Uh-oh. That's the chip that if you won't help, need help, want to become a part of our program, you pick up a white chip. And there's different chips along the way to show your journey, you know, as you're going, as you're learning and growing. And the more time it goes by. So you pick up, you know, you get to pick up chips, which really, you know, it's not really a reward, but it's just to show others that it can be done.
So surrender. So that's the first chip. And so it's almost as if, I mean, when you fell and your legs were frozen and you're in the hospital, I mean, it's almost like your body had surrendered to the pain, right? And then it took you a while mentally, emotionally to surrender to what are you really, when you get the white chip, so what is it exactly? How do they say you're surrendering? What are you surrendering to at that point?
Well, surrendering to being an alcoholic, you're admitting, which is the first step, first part, you're admitting that you're an alcoholic or, you know, something with drugs or any addiction. You're surrendering to the truth. Right. For yourself and out and for others to see too. Yes.
Got it. Okay. Yes. I'm with you now.
Yeah. No.
That's so huge. That's dropping your ego. That's letting it go. That's admitting that I'm weak.
The more like it takes, so people have to hit their bottom. And some people have really low bottoms and some people have higher bottoms. You know, I thought that I was quote unquote done in the middle, meaning I was done with drinking when I first came in. But there was a part of me, there was a hole inside of me that still was not filled up. So that's one of the reasons that I relapsed so badly. Okay. Gotcha. Now, for me, like, I had to work on my spirituality. I had some, but I did not have enough. So when you're talking about surrendering, like every morning, they ask you to drop your ego and let something larger than yourself take control. Nice. And it seems like, you know, there's been times when the weaker are actually the strongest.
100%. That's what we learn in Tai Chi. You know, I teach Tai Chi and we learn that weakness is actually strength, you know, in so many different ways.
So that's the
same. If you go at everything with boom, 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 things are going to fall apart.
Right. Exactly.
Then it's the way it works.
Yeah. And I know.
But dropping your ego. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And really, you do it a lot, but you take it back. I mean, we're not perfect. You know, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
So I take it back an hour after I dropped it off, you know? I mean, so it's a constant. Yeah. It's constant, like. And I would say.
It'll be there when I'm ready.
Yeah, that's right. I will say that AA is an easier, softer way. And I say that now, it's a simple program for complicated people. Now, I said simple, not easy. Because it's not easy. I mean, it is just.
Easy to change.
No. But once you hit rock bottom and the AA house is the last one on the block, you are ready to surrender. You are ready to learn a different way. You're ready to listen and learn and grow. You have to have that bottom. Like, if you don't remember your last drink, you probably haven't had it. So, like, there's a story I really like about this guy that gets swallowed by a whale. He's meant to go do something, but he don't want to go do that, right? So, ends up being swallowed by a whale. Well, the whale spits him out exactly where he should have been in the first place. Well, that's kind of me, right? I kind of go kicking and screaming. I will get there, but it may be with humps and bumps in the road, right? I mean, I'll be spit out exactly where I should be. And I'm like, God, why didn't I just do the easier, softer way?
Why did I have to go get eaten by a whale? What in the world?
I know, right? So
skip the whale next time.
Exactly. And stop kicking and screaming. You know, so
that's kind of, you know, when we talk about addiction, I mean, we talk about that hole, right? But what's so crazy is we feel like everybody I've ever known with any type of addiction, even coffee, I mean, there's always something. not always something, but there's so many substances that people are addicted to that really are kind of hurting themselves. But the one commonality I see in almost all those folks is they do have that hole that they can't fill, and they think that substance is going to fill it. But what really is going on is they need to lose their ego and open it up, right?
Right.
And realize that the hole is in their mind. Yep. Surrender. Right.
And, you know, that can take, even when you come in, pick up a white chip, there for 3 years. I mean, people, it's taken people 5 years to, like, they don't take a drink, but they're still, but, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but.
And so it just depends on that person and their story. But I will say that drinking and other addictions is only a symptom of what's really going on. So there's something down in you. There could be situations. There could be layers of stuff. Okay. But it, for me, and what I've seen, is there's a hole inside you, and you can fill that up with work or taking walks or, you know, taking your dog to the park or eating or whatever.
Relationships, all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. Lord, I wish I had never dated anyone of those guys.
There's some truth there.
Yeah. I'm telling you. I swear. But once you realize and you work through, it's like this. When you get into AA, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is you get your feelings back. The The bad news is you get your feelings back. So,
I don't want them. You can have them.
I know.
I don't want to feel them, right?
That's what we've been drinking or doing a substance or whatevering to not feel whatever that is. And so when you come in and you're, hopefully you have hit your low and you are broken enough to try a different way. You have those problems. People have a lot of problems when they come in because they just weren't thinking in a healthy type of way. And they say that it takes 5 years to get your marbles back. It took me a little longer. Yeah, like in your brain, you know, your marbles. So it took me a little longer, but it's your thinking. I'm sorry?
You have to change the way your brain processes input, really, basically, right? Because your brain, especially if it's gone on for years, your brain makes all those grooves. And so,
exactly.
Incoming stimulus. You know, and so your brain goes in those old habits and then, and so you've got to actually rewire, right? You've got to rewire your brain. You've got to rewire your body. You've got to rewire everything that's going on inside you to make that shift.
And that
at some point you've got to address the whole.
That's right. Now you might not address it at first because you've got a ticket you need to take care of, or you've got your marriage you need to take care of, or, you know, the other things that have cropped up since you've been doing whatever. But you eventually will get to that place where you need to work on your spirituality. And let's see, we say that that we have a daily reprieve contingent on our spirituality maintenance. So see, it's a daily thing. And you can work on it in so many ways, and you can work on it just a little bit. You can take steps.
Right.
They're great about the programs. You know, they don't shout, you have to do this. You know, they suggest things, and then you see that it's worked for others. And others are smiling and laughing and what, and you first come in like, what are you laughing about? You know, my life is awful. Yeah. Last house on the block, believe me. But soon realize that they're just laughing together because they've been in that experience. And I will say that when you hear someone's story, don't listen to the differences. Don't try to find differences. Listen to the underneath and the same feelings that you may be having. Because my story is going to be different than someone else's story. Like, you know, because I'm a binge drinker.
Totally.
I'm not a daily drinker. So there's different, I mean, there's tons of different stories. But if you don't listen to the difference, like, because people will listen to the difference, they'll say, well, I haven't done that yet. Well, I haven't gotten a DUI yet. Yeah, yet.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, but it, and so that listen. Doesn't mean that you're not an alcoholic if you don't have a DUI. I mean, come on. You know, that's just the path that somebody else took.
Right.
You had an incident, but you had an incident with a file cabinet.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, since I've been sober, I had one other little chunk of my life that was an incident. It lasted 3.5 years. My husband at the time left. He left me with all the financial obligations. And him and his mother did things and tried to do things that were extremely cruel. And I finally was able to get my things back 3.5 years after he had left, just because they were just wanted to play with me. And so, but I tell you what, I had 2 breakdowns during that time frame. And, but I did not think to take a drink. The obsession had been lifted from me. That's right. Yay.
That's awesome. It can be done even through hell.
It can be even through hell. Seriously. I mean, you know, I mean.
Because, you know, talking about, you know, your husband, and I want to go back to something, you know, honestly, that Mark said, and he talked about the effect on society, right? And, you know, one of the problems with people with addictions is it's the little things. Like, for example, I had a friend that was addicted to cocaine, right? And I knew after a while not to talk to her on Monday. Just don't talk to her because her brain's going to be gone. Wow. Tuesday, she's going to be hitting her low. You know, stay back on Tuesday too, because she's going to be shooting out at you as that stuff's coming out of her system.
Right.
Wednesday and Thursday, you could almost talk to her, but by Thursday afternoon, she was already starting to get that, whoo, here we go again. You know, how much we gonna, you know, so it was like my friend, for whatever reason, you know, I only had one day a week with her because the addiction took over her. So that was, so that is part of how it can hurt relationships. But even in, let's talk about work. Let's talk about alcoholism with work. I was in home building for over 24 years, 25 years I was in home building. The amount of alcoholics that are in home building, and the problem is not just what, you know, the drinking at night, or the binge drinking on the weekends, or we go out, now you can't even walk and talk. Okay, this is great. But it's the decisions that they make while hungover. You know what I mean?
Oh,
or
yes,
while they're
do.
Thinking about the next drink. Like, I've been in a meeting before, and, you know, one of the main directors was like, time to go. And it's like, we're not done. We haven't, you know, we got another 25 minutes here allotted in this room. We got to work through this because there's about 25 people that are counting on us for this decision. We got to do the right thing. He was jonesing for a drink. And so he was trying to get out of there, which is, so my point, and one other point on the societal effects is, if you have that hole that you haven't recognized, if you don't surrender, then you're going to be attracting like. And that's what, when you talked about your ex-husband and the mom, potentially that attraction was when you were in the barrel or in a barrel-like situation, which we do need to get back to the barrel, but we're in a hard thing. So that's, you were attracted the like, because he didn't have his, you know, he has a hole. I mean, let's face it. If he's acting ugly, he's got an issue somewhere, right?
Right.
Unless he's a, you know, sociopath or psychopath, which I doubt. But anyway, so It affects the addiction and the fact that there's 21 million, at least 21 million Americans with that addiction, and across the world, who knows how many people are addicted. And it's affecting day-to-day behaviors. It's affecting the upbringing of children. It's affecting abuse on animals. It's affecting, you know, all kinds of things because they're not surrendering and recognizing that there's a hole. I'm going to fill it. I'm going to escape. I'm not going to deal with it.
And you can even do all of what you just being sober, because I married that guy when I was sober. Now, was I taken straight? Absolutely not. So now, and well, then I have a sponsor, and that's one thing about the sponsor. Yes. If you question it, you call your sponsor, and because they have more time in the program, their mind has gotten a lot straighter. Like I mentioned about getting your marbles back, you get them back around 5 years, but I took longer. Well, that's what I'm talking about is healthy thinking. And at one time, I almost thought to pick up a white chip just for my thinking.
Well, you know, doesn't so much of it start with your thinking? For me as an energy worker, it generally starts in your energy body is really, but so many people don't know, aren't in touch with their energy body. So it starts with your energy body, right? And then it makes its way into your mental and your physical, right?
Well, this kind of starts the other way around. Like when I relapsed, I was thinking of having a drink. I hadn't even had a drink, but I had already relapsed because I had it in my mind. And once you get it in your mind, and you know you're going to go there, and then you take the drink or the drug or the whatever, okay, then you need more. Right. And you need more and more. And it's like an allergy. Like once you become an alcoholic or an addict or whatever, it's like a cucumber and a pickle. You do not get to go back. Yeah, there's no going back to the cucumber. So once you're right, and I said, you know, with me, mine's doing push-ups inside my body, just waiting for me to be weak enough to go there. But when you were talking about the families and the things, you know, I'm like, I have a friend who's in the program. Now her son is doing alcohol and drugs. And there's but so much she can do. Mm-hmm. So, and like with my family, I didn't get a lot of support. I just didn't get the support I needed, especially after my relapse. And so, of course, you find the friends to support you. You find your tribe. But it affects families in different ways.
Yeah.
It affects, like you said, it affects work. It affects everything you touch, it affects. That's the bottom line.
And the family support, you know, it's you know, here comes Mark. But the family support, so let's talk about support, period. You know, we thrive when we connect, right?
Right.
I mean, period. Even introverts do, because there's some, when we connect with what sparks our soul, right? Not with things that don't. And that's how we really grow and evolve, right? Is something from outside us is sparking something inside us. And then there we go. So, you know, it's so, the sponsor is just such a great example of, you know, what humans can do for each other, right? Especially if you don't have that family support. We need, if we're going to change and evolve, we have to be surrounded with folks, with fertile soil, with folks that are you know, want us to evolve. You know, let's go, let's go, right? Yes, exactly. And so, you know, we're all connected in, but the sponsors are such an important part of the program. And I think it's so wonderful that it shows that humans take humans, you know what I mean? That what we can do for each other as humans to help us live. Exactly. And also by the other hand, also then how we can hurt people.
How we can hurt people?
Am I frozen?
No. What did you
say? Yeah, I said like, so for example, if somebody has the, my point was, is if people have the capacity to lift people up, support people, and help people be the best version of themselves they can be, people also have the ability to take it the other way. Like, for example, your 4.5-year relapse, right?
Right.
So that's why I think it's so important. And, you know, I don't want to get corny or anything like that, but that's the whole point of the show, is planting a good seed to help others. Right. Exactly. Because we want to be the positivity. We want to be the light and the love and help each other, no matter what it is, no matter like if I have no idea what addiction is, I still am here to support you. And however, you know, I can. Unfortunately, I know about addiction, but, you know, we're here for each other.
Yes. And there's, I mean,
period.
Everybody, like when if there's somebody out there who is wondering, am I an alcoholic? You know, am I a drug addict? My whatever. You know, we have a little saying in AA where normal people don't ask themselves that question. They wouldn't even hit their mind to ask that question.
Right.
And when you were talking about the support or the lack of it, you know, when I first came in, my husband ramped up the control stuff because I was getting better. And so people like sometimes when you're getting better, people don't want to see you get better. They want you to stay just as you are, so you can either keep controlling them or whatever, you know. So there's that point to what you also. Before Mark comes back on and asks about
meetings. And you've got it. Unfortunately, it's bad, but.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, before I was going to say, right now, we're not having meetings like fellowship where you go and see somebody. We're doing Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. So that's the best we can do right now is by Zoom. Because we can't get together right
now. Which is not the same, is it?
No, it is not. And for somebody that needs help, you don't get the fellowship. You don't have that face-to-face contact. You don't get a hug. You know, it's very important. So hopefully sometime
soon. There's an energy exchange.
Exactly. And they can see...
It's
people
the energy
enjoying their lives.
Like whether we recognize that they've made it and they've gone through, but whether we recognize it or not, at all times our bodies, our energies are talking to each other. So if you walk into a room of very supportive, helpful people, then your body feels it, your energy body feels it. Whereas if you walk into a room of toxic people, then your body's going to feel it too. And that's one of the unspoken things that, you know, has happened to a lot of us through this COVID, is that whole loss of connection, of energy transference between us and what people are feeling. People are losing that. And so the question then is, does it make people less willing to join? Does it make people less willing to speak up? Does it make people less willing to actually seek the help? Because, you know, I can have a whole mug full of alcohol right here, you know, but give
That's
me
a lot,
my white
too.
Chip. You know what I mean? It's
right.
You know, there's.
That
I'm
is
not
like
dropping. No, I'm kidding.
The cup.
Tea, but you know, so I think it's the keg cup. But, you know, so people can't get the help or the support that they need. And that I want to say that invisible that you can feel,
right,
but you can't put your fingers on, which is so important. Because some people don't want to use their words. I mean, I know there's a lot of people, you know, I do Reiki, and there's so much people tell me with their energy, and for all of us with body language, right?
Right, exactly. Now, if somebody is trying to get sober during this time, it is harder for them. However, if you go on, if you find out about the Zoom meetings, you can go on to lots of different meetings and maybe not at first speak up, but eventually you'll be comfortable enough to say, you know, this is my fourth meeting of NAA. And
nice.
People will, like, they'll probably have a discussion on being new to AA or the first step, right? I mean, something like that. So I would think in one way it might be easier because you can sit at home and go to an AA meeting. So that I could see as being a little easier. But as far as the fellowship and what you're talking about, it's just not possible right now. And now, you know, you hear on the news how people are drinking more because they're staying home.
Yeah. Well, alcohol was deemed an essential business. Is that correct?
Can you believe that?
So what message is that sending?
Oh, well, it's probably the tax.
Yes, I can, because of the profits that people, but I think that's part of the problem, is that addictions have become acceptable. I mean, you know, they're so acceptable. So alcohol is essential. What's going on there? How many events, business events, personal events are centered around alcohol? It's, you know, I've been guilty of it myself, honestly. But, you know, it's that people don't want to face the truth of what's going on. And, you know, it's just really... it's sad, but I've also seen people, how many times has somebody said, oh, I can't talk to you till I have my coffee? What's up with that? Right. You know what I mean? Why can't you talk until you have your coffee? That's a substance, right?
Yes. Hey, Mark.
You know, there's so many people, probably billions of people that are like that.
By the way, great discussion. But I was thinking, as y'all were talking, I'm thinking probably about, and I'm just going to throw a figure out there, 85%, 90% of society has an addiction of some sort or another. And that's something we probably have to come to terms with as well. I mean, there are some addictions that might be have certain societal kind of like repercussions, and people think of them as being more of the standard addictions, whether that's alcohol, whether that's drugs, whether that's some of the other ones, some of the sex addictions, some of the things of that nature. But as y'all were talking, I was even thinking to myself, I'm like, I've got some friends that are obsessive compulsive. They're very much all about cleanliness and things of that nature. So that's a form of addiction. If y'all could see, and I could lift up the camera and everything, my room is probably the exact opposite of that. It's a very messy room, so that's probably an opposite kind of addiction. So, but it is a form of addiction. I'm not exactly brushing my papers and my other junk. So there's various kinds of addictions out there.
Yeah.
So
that being said, right.
I don't know. Right. Among us doesn't have some sort of addiction.
Something. Right? Some, yes, sir. Something. You're right. Exactly right.
Yeah. And, so and until people, you know, focus on why, you know, so I'm gonna go back to the coffee thing. Why do you have to have your coffee before you can speak to somebody? You know, what's up? Why are you not getting the sleep that you need? What's wrong? You know, why is your system in balance? You know, just to take it the step back and figure out why you keep going for that, why you're dependent on that substance, right? Even though it may be doing other things to you that you don't like too.
Well, you're exactly right. And I have to confess that I'm not one to talk to anyone first 30 minutes because I'm really awake, you know, and it doesn't matter what substance I put in my body. I'm just not awake, but I'm trying to fiend down me as quickly as possible. So
Yeah, Tish, you beamed out on us there for a second, but I put you back in, so
it's
I don't
about
know what happened and everything.
I don't know either, because it seems like we had good connection, and it just kind of backed out, backed in. You guys keep freezing on me. I don't know what's going on here. So, but it's almost time to end anyway. We've got a hard stop at 2. Donna, if you can, there you are. Hey. So,
hi.
Donna, if you can hear me, do you have any final thoughts? Hi, again.
You
know. So, any final thoughts? Because we're heading up to the 2 o'clock hour.
Well, gosh, there's so much more we could talk about. We really could. I know for me, once I really, I mean, you have to take this, I mean, it's your life. You know, you have to take this as serious as if otherwise you will die, because you will die. Or you'll be a long, awful, dreadful road. You'll be alive, but you know. So for me, using the tools from the program, you know, the fellowship, the 12 steps, 12 traditions, the meetings, having a sponsor, being a sponsor, and service work, all of those, you know, help you stay sober. And the reason that I wanted to come on today just to talk about this is because, see, we have another saying that is, you can't keep what you don't give away. And I want somebody that's out there struggling to hear, and to hear that you can get help. Yeah. I mean, it's out there. You can just pick up the phone and call the AA hotline. But I tell you what,
that's right.
Today, I am free from that. And I give my higher power all the glory to that.
Wow, that's real powerful, what you just said and everything. And I know we were getting ready to wrap everything up, and I know Tish probably has some words as well, but I know we got that hard stop. But on behalf of the IBM TV family and also Tish's show in here and everything, I've been very moved by your comments, Donna. I want to invite you to come back on not just Donna's show, but I also do a show, and there are a number of the shows as well. So do know that you have a platform here to share your story, to share your voice, and to share what you're doing. So I just want to let you know that you are definitely welcome to come back anytime that you feel like it to share your story.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That is very nice. Thank you, Mark. Did we lose?
Thank you, guys, Donna. Yeah, looks like I might be on here twice, but Donna, thank you. I can't tell you how much your friendship means to me, as well as your vulnerability here today and willing to share the story. It's not easy. You talked about your surrender. So many of us keep it. First of all, so many of us don't surrender, right? We don't admit what's going on. We keep running. And you did it beautifully and very open. And I can't, again, express to you how many good seeds I know that you've planted today to help other people harvest. Thank
you. I hope so. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. He's the producer with the mostest.
Try to do what I can to help and definitely spread the word and plant those seeds. And there's such powerful seeds that need to be planted around the country and around the world. Because as you said, this is an issue that doesn't just impact the United States, but we know we have listeners from around other parts of the globe as well. And this is an issue of addiction. And even whether we want to talk about a specific addiction of alcoholism or whether we want to talk about the various other addictions, is something that is definitely globally impacting us. Because I know that you know and we know that we've got friends here, even on the IBM TV network, that are from places like India, Malaysia, Australia, and South Africa, England, and they even talk about the impact of this issue in their particular countries as well. And I know that AA is a global program, as are a number of other programs. So definitely it is a global issue, and it's something that we need to pay attention to globally. So definitely, like I said, Donna, we have this platform, so I definitely want to welcome you to come back on anytime that you feel like it. Know that you have a home here.
Right. And my story is about alcoholism, but I tried to add the other addictions because it's so prevalent, you know. And one more thing, if somebody doesn't have hope, take some of mine, you know, just take some of mine and you'll be all right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What a powerful message.
Beautiful.
Tish, I'm going to bring us on with our closing song that we usually have, so bring us both on and off. I know that's a song that you love and everything, so we're going to bring that on with that closing song. And then right after that, I know y'all have got we're actually, just like we were with Zach, it's slightly over, but not as over as we usually are, maybe about a minute or two. But if y'all have to bounce off of your other calls, don't worry about that either. But we are going to wrap this show up, and I definitely think that folks got a very important message that needs to be heard globally. And I look forward to hearing more of these kind of stories throughout IBM TV as well as throughout your show. Tish, who do we have before I bring that music on for our guest next week? Do we know who we've got next week and who will that be? Tish bounced, so I'll find out from her later on who that guest will be, because I'm just going to bring the music up and then we'll go from there. So hopefully folks will have a grand time, and do know that this show is very important, and we look forward to having more conversations about that and things of that nature. Oh, there's Tish, so we're going to bring Tish back up. And Tish, I was asking who is our guest next week?
We have Jay Graves, who is a diversity, I don't know if the right word is specialist or expert, but he's been a lot of places, done a lot of things. He himself has experienced discrimination and prejudice in a variety of different ways. And he wants to talk about his story because he's very positive and he embraces each opportunity as an educational and uplifting opportunity for the other person. So we can't stress how important it is for the world when we talk about global citizenship, for the diversity and to embrace everyone's gifts. And Jay will help us see that.
That sounds great. And I'm definitely a big supporter of diversity throughout our society and diversity across the boundaries, whether that's diversity in race, diversity in orientation, diversity in gender, diversity just in the various ways that we classify ourselves. So definitely I'm looking forward to that conversation because we know that there's a lot of ways that businesses and society is not being as diverse as it could be. And we're seeing that even in some of the things that are happening here in the United States, and not just here in the United States, but around the world. So on that note, I'm going to bring in Born Feeling, and then we'll see y'all next week. And I definitely look forward to another great conversation with you, Tish. Of course, we might be having conversations during the course of the week, in regular conversation. But until that time, we know that we'll definitely see each other on next Saturday between the hours of 1 and 2. So looking forward to seeing you again then, but I might hear from you via iPhone or via email even before that time. So definitely look forward to that, and want all of our listeners to know that this is the Plant a Seed Show, and we definitely want you to know that that's what we try to do on a regular basis, plant the most positive seeds, because too many negative seeds are out there, and we need to plant some positive seeds throughout society and throughout the world. So on that note, I'm going to wrap it up and bring up the music, but I do look forward to seeing y'all again here next week at 1 p.m.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Donna.
Thanks, Mark.
Namaste.
Deixa a janela do sorriso aberta. Coisa boa, boa, coisa desperta.
garganta caia, caia nos liberta. Caia, caia. Deixa a janela do sorriso aberta. Coisa boa, boa, coisa desperta. Canta, caia, caia nos liberta. Dá um bom feeling. Bom feeling, yeah, yeah, yeah. Bom feeling. Bom feeling, yeah, yeah, yeah. Deixa de complicação, deixa de confusão. Liberta a alma dessa prisão. Uai, yeah. Deixa-te guiar pro coração.